Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Always happy to talk to this guy. We appreciate the generosity of his time. He's the president of baseball operations for the Chicago Cubs, Theo Epstein, with us on The Score. Hey, Theo, how you doing today?
Hey, good. Good afternoon, guys.
Have you ever broken a chair?
Not by sitting on it.
Okay.
So that leads throwing it? I mean, is there another way to break a chair?
No comment.
Perfect. So I know how I'm taking a 3-8 start. I know how fans are taking a 3-8 start. We talk to them every day. How are you taking this start?
Ask the chair. No, I'm kidding. We're hanging in there. It is really important to sort of stay the course early. You know, until you kind of find your level, it can be destabilizing. So, you know, you have to recognize that every season, no matter how good a spring training you have as a group or how you feel about the team coming out of spring training, there's usually going to be guys who start the year searching for it, and sometimes they don't discover that till the games count, and then all of a sudden they're, you know, it doesn't feel right, and they're searching, and there's going to be guys who start out in a tree, who just feel really good and perform right away, and you kind of have to just dig in, and when you have more players searching than ones who start out, in a tree, you just have to kind of hang in there and ride it out until guys find their level, and that's where we're at right now. It's not the start anyone wanted. There are some positives. There are some areas of concern, and there's been some progress in those areas, specifically with the bullpen, even since the season started. So we're just hanging in there and trying to play better baseball.
You feel like the room is taking it okay? The room with the players, is there a calm in there that you'd like to see at this point, no matter what the results might say?
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's a confidence and a calm in there. I think even there's occasional appropriate frustration that we haven't played better ball and won more games. I do sense a calm and a confidence and guys who've been there before and been through it and understanding that it's a long season without relying on that as a crutch at all.
Spiegs and I were both there on Monday at opening day when you were talking before the game, and we know we don't want to do referendums on a guy start to start, but the circumstances with the conditions last night were interesting. What did you think of Darvish's night?
Yeah, I mean, there were some positives. I mean, he's at a place where, with the way his first start went, there was a lot of room for improvement, and I think each of the last two starts there have been sort of baby steps in the right direction. Last night, especially with his strike throwing and his aggressiveness, he was able to introduce the curveball into the mix a little bit more instead of being so dependent on slider and cutter. And I think the split is probably the next to be integrated more. But the couple fastball mistakes really, really cost him. But besides that, I thought there was, there were a lot of positives around that.
Would you have liked to see him work through that jam, or were you happy with when he got pulled?
I think it was really sound logic why he was pulled. That in that situation, Joe really wanted to turn Bell around, and a ground ball is what you're looking for, especially on a night when you probably would have bet the under. You want to try to hold it right there to three runs. So I think it made perfect sense why he was pulled. I think you could have made arguments on your side, but the logic was certainly sound. We just didn't get the the result we wanted there.
It's pretty clear he's a unique personality. Funny in a way that none of us realized until this spring. And people can be mean when they're talking about him. There's no need to be. I would say from the outside, he seems to be a sensitive guy. Not as a negative, just everybody's different. And everybody needs their own kind of managing and conversation. Is that seeming sensitivity? Is that something you knew was there in his personality as a player and as a guy?
Yeah, I think thoughtfulness and, you know, guy who kind of takes a lot of things in. And I think that's a fair way to characterize it. But I think when you sign a long-term deal as a free agent, and then you get off to a really disappointing start, it's not easy on anyone, regardless of the personality. And I think guys show it differently. Extroverts will show it differently than introverts, and guys who are callous will show it differently than guys who are who take more in and are sensitive to an extent. But the reality is that's not easy for anyone, and you just have to fight through it and rewrite the script on your own terms. And with some of the progress he's showing, we'd like to believe he's on his way to doing that, but a lot of work lies ahead.
Theo, what have you learned about Darvish that maybe you didn't know in your research leading up to signing him?
I think he's, he engages a lot with the infrastructure, and there's a lot of conversation. And I think it's a process sometimes in getting that to manifest out on the mound, that there's a lot of things that he works on. He takes instruction really well, his sides. A lot of those adjustments manifest right away in the side sessions, but it's just a process to get it into the games. And but I think, as I indicated earlier, there's progress being made, emphasis on having him throw all his pitches more often and less predictable, more diverse mix, because that's something he's capable of. And even on a really cold night, he was able to get the curveball into the mix more last night. And I think when the split comes around and then confidence in the fastball to both sides of the plate, you'll see a totally different guy.
I think there was a moment in the radio broadcast anyway where he was like, boy, you're just not going to hit one out of this park tonight. And then 10 seconds later, there's a home run. It just didn't seem to make sense. I found myself...
Ball carried to left a lot better than I think anyone was expecting last night. And unfortunately, they hit a couple balls out that way at key moments. And J.A. got one out to left center, and then we hit a couple balls hard to right, and they hit one hard to right where it just wasn't carrying at all.
But the pitch tipping is not an issue with you in terms of fastballs, is it?
No, not tipping is not an issue with them right now.
The ball seems to be jumping a lot this season. Do you think that's going to be a storyline all year, the juiced ball again?
It could be. I think it'll just follow off the data. And right now, home runs are up, and I won't engage in public speculation about that. But I'm sure, given the nature of information, how prevalent it is these days, is once we get a big enough sample and people dive into it, I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of speculation.
We're talking to Cubs president Theo Epstein. McNeil and Parkins on the score with Spiegs in for Mac. Is Chris Bryant feeling okay?
Yeah, he feels good health-wise. I think he's felt better at the plate, and he's obviously in a little bit of a rut right now. But yeah, physically he's in good shape.
Ozzie Guillen speculated the shoulder still wasn't there. In terms of not feeling good at the plate, is there anything specific that you can point to or anything like that?
His shoulder's fine. No, I just think, as I mentioned earlier, you've got guys who start the year and everything clicks and they feel good, and you've guys who start the year and for whatever reason, it's completely unpredictable, but you have guys who don't feel right and are searching. And, I think he's searching a little bit just for that, to feel comfortable and at the plate. And he's missed some pitches that I think he feels like he should have driven. And so it's a process. He's working away. No one wants it more. And he certainly has, deep understanding of his swing and knows how to be an elite hitter at the big league level. And I think it's a matter of time until that locks in for him. But no, it's not the start that he would have wanted. But he's he's going to work his way to get back there.
I thought the ugliest thing on the field last night were those rose-colored Oakleys that he was wearing. I don't get it, man. I mean, I guess it's to hold off the wind, but a lot of people with maintenance of the balaclavas and you putting the sleeves on between offense and defense, it sucks to play in the cold, I guess, is the lesson here.
I think that's the takeaway. Hopefully it's going to be a little bit warmer tonight. Let's hope it stays dry.
A guy who does seem to be locked in is Jason Hayward with his power swing. Where has this come from?
Yeah, it's really nice to see. I mean, already going deep four times after just eight last year. It's great for him. You know, he got a couple balls away from him where he could extend his arms in Milwaukee and put good swings on those balls. And I think it's just, his feel is better. He's using his hands better. His balance is better, and it's coming off the bat really well right now. And you know, I think even when he struggles, he does see the ball so well that when his feel with his swing improves, and he's got a little bit bigger barrel, and the ball's coming off better, you see drastic improvement like we're seeing here, because he is somebody who just understands what pitchers are doing to him and sees the ball really well and knows his own strike zone and makes good decisions in the box. So it's really been, you know, sort of working through swing issues. But now he feels really good. You know, you see somebody in the box who, with confidence, who sees the ball well, and when he can't extend those arms and drive the ball, it's been fun to watch. So good for him, man. The center field shot in Milwaukee and cutting through that wind last night, those aren't cheapies either. Those are driven baseballs, and that's really nice to see.
I've been enjoying watching Kyle Schwarber this year, and I've heard him mention before, and I think Anthony Rizzo mentioned it one time, that Kyle's a guy who sometimes the information can be too much, and like we were talking about with everybody being different, I wonder if that's something that you guys have found with Kyle, that when it's a little simpler, it works a little better for him at the plate.
Yeah, I think most importantly, he's come to that awareness about himself. It's the process for these guys as they get deeper into their major league careers to know themselves better and to be convicted in an approach that works for them. And for him, I think, he's been caught in a game of making, like, adjustment upon adjustment over the last couple of years, or getting taller and, being worried about certain pitches, certain parts of the strike zone. And he really made a concerted effort this winter just to simplify everything, go back to his old stance, focus on the middle of the field and the opposite field, and hitting the ball hard, not worrying about getting his ball in the air on the pull side, knowing that the power would take care of itself, and then not always having to anticipate every at-bat what they're trying to do to you and guess along, but have confidence in his natural rhythm and timing in his hands, that he's going to be quick enough on the heater, and when he keeps it simple and he's in his crouch and has his legs underneath him, he does a great job keeping his hands back on off speed stuff and can still drive those pitches, because when his hands stay back, he barrels the ball, he hits it as hard as anybody. So I think you're seeing a manifestation of that, him getting a real good understanding of what works for him, what makes him special, and then even what sort of works with his pregame prep and his mental approach in the box. And not that it's going to be easy all the time, because it's not. Last night was a tough night, of course, but overall I think you're seeing someone who's knows himself, trusts himself, and is looking forward to showing it each night.
Theo, is there a point when you have to decide that it's time to give up on a pitcher to truly put it all together? I was talking with Ryan Dempster the other day about how certain guys just kind of never quite get it. And Dempster had a special demeanor, a special work ethic, and probably special makeup in a lot of ways. I'm wondering what factors go into deciding whether guys ever really go into get it, and if you find yourself eventually giving up on certain guys.
I think that's a question that needs refining, because it depends on the context, whether you're talking about a prospect, and whether you're working through his development to see if he can reach his potential, mm-hmm. or a veteran who you're trying, maybe you picked up late in his career and you're trying to see if he has anything left.
The latter is what I was thinking of. Not mm-hmm. necessarily a final developmental step, but the latter.
Yeah, I think it comes down to a big enough sample and then trying adjustments and seeing if they work and looking beneath maybe just the most recent results and digging into the peripheral performance and the pitch data and seeing if this is a legitimate reason to project better performance. Like if the underlying ingredients that go into being an effective pitcher, having an effective pitch mix, being able to command enough to be successful, if those ingredients are gone, you're probably not just going to discover performance and success out of alchemy. I mean, you need the ingredients. And so if one or two ingredients are missing but the others are there, you continue to work on the ingredients that are missing and make adjustments while there's something mechanical or something physical, but if all the ingredients are gone, you're probably on a fool's errand. That's a general answer to a general question.
We're talking to Theo Epstein here, McNeil and Parkins on The Score. When I put it out on Twitter yesterday, to submit for questions that you're coming on, I'd say honestly, 50% of them had something to do with money and budget. And no one who's being fair, right? You top three in payroll. Plenty of resources to win. No one can say what you guys are spending this year on the ball club is cheap. But yesterday, the Forbes story comes out that shows the Cubs is the third most profitable team in baseball last year. And when Tom Ricketts said, there's no more money in the baseball budget, it caught a lot of us by surprise. Did that catch you by surprise in any way?
No. I mean, I don't think I was caught by surprise. I mean, I think we've had a pretty consistent budgeting process, and we've had very consistent investment in the club in terms of resources. So, I think I said it the other day that people can question the allocation of resources. That's every fan's right, of course, and it's usually a question we get when we're not winning, and a question we don't get when we are winning. And so this comes with the territory, but question the overall big picture investment in the club, I don't think makes sense. We've been, top six payroll every year since we've been competitive. We're higher than that this year. It is a business, and so there's more to the financial picture than just what you're taking in. Obviously, what you're spending in other areas, the massive investment in the ballpark. So it's way more nuanced than just what you're taking in. But I don't think anyone can question the overall investment in the club. And there are sort of limitations each year that we deal with, and some years there's more flexibility than others. I just know that when I do my job, when we do our job in baseball operations more artfully, then people don't notice where we're a little bit limited or where we have restrictions. And when I don't do my job as well and we're not as well positioned going into a season, people are going to notice that more and we're going to face more questions. So that's how I look at it.
And just so we're accurate when we're talking about it and answering fans' questions, are you guys on pace to pay the luxury tax this year?
I never answer luxury tax questions per se, but I think you can do the math and figure it out. But I'll say that the luxury tax itself has not been a limiting factor. It's budgeting based on what we bring in and what our expenses are, and the overall financial picture of the ball club. There are certain years where you're close and you want to be strategic, but the luxury tax has not been a real factor for us this year. We haven't really been considering it with our planning, our short-term planning this year.
Theo, you've said before on the record that you would welcome certain changes, or at least conversation about changes to the game itself that would bring more late-game offense, late-inning offense to the game. Those needs would seem to be even more present now as we look across baseball. So I'm wondering, on the three-batter rule for the relievers, those kind of things, I think you have an openness that might surprise some people to those things.
I'm not spending a ton of time these days thinking about, the macro issues of baseball. I'm thinking more about how we get our fourth win of the season and get on a roll. But, in general, I think we have to be open-minded as an industry to changes that make us the best version of baseball for the fans, with the most action. And if we can make some changes that see the ball put in play more often, I think that's the biggest change, more so than late inning offense, which is also important. But just in general, the ball's not in play that much these days. You see historic levels of strikeouts, And you put that on top of, especially the strikeouts, but you put that on top of the walks, and then, of course, home runs, and you're left with a ball in play, you know, close to once every 4 minutes. And there was a time in baseball when it was about half that. So I think just the more we can, you know, if we can cut down on strikeouts and as an industry, and, you know, the strikeout rate is sort of hurtling towards 25%, when, you know, for a lot of baseball history, it was a lot closer to 15%. So if you can make some changes around the edges with, you know, some rule changes and, you know, some things that the best changes, the ones that no one even notices, but it just could cut down on the strikeout rate and get the ball in play a little bit more, increase action. I think that's a better product for the fans. But, you know, that's a secondary consideration for us right now. We're trying to win some ball games. And the good news is, I think, you know, you have a pretty progressive commissioner's office that's looking at not just the game now, but the game 5, 10, 15 years from now, and knowing that we want to be the most popular, the most action-packed sport there is in the sports entertainment landscape, and that being open-minded to some changes to make us the best version of baseball possible makes sense.
Then we'll get you out of here, Theo, with something about your team and getting back to winning games in games number mm-hmm. 4 and beyond. What are you most confident in with this team, that at the end of the year, you're confident that fill-in-the-blank is going to be there for you guys?
I just think this group is won a lot, and that in the end, I'm most confident in the overall talent level of this group, the depth and overall talent level of this group, and that over 162, that usually reveals itself, and it has, you know, to the tune of more wins than anyone else the last 4 years. It's largely the same group. So in small sample starts to the season, you know, you might see some uncharacteristic performance from certain star players, certain key players, but that over 162, pretty confident those players are going to reach their level, and we as a group will reach our level. If you wanted to just go off the start of the season, you'd talk about, you know, being sort of most optimistic about our offensive approach, and you know, while we've had our moments, by and large, we're having pretty professional at bats and using the whole field and hitting the ball pretty hard and getting on base and hitting for a high average. And so, coming off the second half that we had last year offensively, that's something that we're really happy about, you know, the early indicators. So answering your question broadly, it's just the overall talent and depth we have at the big league level right now, and then more specifically based on, you know, the start and sort of, you know, putting weight into what's a small sample, I think we're happy with how the offense looks now relative to the second half of last year.
Theo, we always appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.